Praise you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Father. You feel the Spirit here today. It's awesome. You may be seated if you'd like. Earlier today, I was just, the Lord gave me a verse, and I was like, well, I've heard that one recently, so I don't know if it's really what. So I started thinking about it and praying about it. And I think we need to look at this. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. He will ever be on my praise, right? We just praise you, Lord, and thank you, Father, for this opportunity to worship you, to praise you, to give you our hearts and our lives and our minds. Father, we just ask that you would let us hear what you want us to hear, Father, whether it's from the message or whether it's just a special word just for us from you. Lord, we just pray that you would, the Holy Spirit would open up our ears and our hearts to hearing what you have to say. So, amen. With that, let's bring out the announcement, shall we? Wow, we got a lot of new faces. Hi, guys. Wow. Okay, let's try this again. Pastor Kevin must be better at this. Hello? All right, thank you. Say hi to Pastor Kevin. Oh, that was, he's not going to be happy. Let's try that again. Hello, Pastor Kevin? Okay, I'm sure he heard that. All right. So Pastor Kevin and Tina have been on vacation. They will be back tomorrow. And we get to fill them in with all the good news. Board meeting is Tuesday night at 6:30 p.m. Staff meeting is Tuesday morning, July 7th at 10 a.m. Friday fellowship will be at the Gentry's house on Friday, July 10th. So make sure you bring a dish to share, and we'll have some fun, okay? They have Nathan, so come on, it'll be fun. Camps are coming up. Senior, teen, and kids camps. They're $195. By all means, please send your kids to camp. Right now we have 11 teenagers scheduled for senior teen, and I know my kids automatically are 3 plus 2 helpers, so we got a whole bunch of kids going to kids camp. If you're able to, please consider making a scholarship sponsor. We did have one last week, so we're able to get one kid to camp that can't afford to go to camp, so those are life-changing moments for kids. And once they go to camp, then it comes back here, and it's up to Pastor Jennifer and I to help solidify what they've learned at camp. So please get them to camp. Kids' lives are changed, and we all know that. Who's all been to a camp? Who's all had a moment with God that they always remember? Okay, most of us. Okay. There's very important information. I've sent this out to the senior kids going to senior teen camp. I have not sent it out to kids' camp families yet, but there is a lot of forms available that I'll have to send you. Information, one must be signed and given to me before child can get on the bus. COVID-19 obviously has caused a lot of issues as far as making sure that we're keeping everybody safe. So a lot of the forms you will get will have what the protocol is and what we're going to do to keep your child safe as best we can. Another one, the one that must be signed, is one where you say, okay, I trust you to do your best. And you're not going to get mad at us if your child gets sick at camp. Okay? You're going to sign that one. Your child cannot go if they don't have that form signed. Okay? Also, when they get here, loaded, ready to go on the camp, I have to do a temperature check. That is a requirement that I have to certify that I have tested every child. If they have a low-grade fever that morning, they cannot go to camp. I'm sorry, we will work out refunds for you at that point, okay? But those, because of what's happened, those are the things that we will have to do, and we have to take those seriously for the protection of the children and the workers at camps, okay? So with that being said, Rodney Sturgis' funeral will be Tuesday at 11 o'clock here at the church. I messed up the order of things happening, so I will leave that for Doug to announce. how things will work after the service. So please plan on attending the service and giving your condolences to Gail, okay? So with that, let's go ahead and open up in prayer as Doug comes forward for the message. Oh, Pastor Jennifer is telling me I forgot the most important thing. Kids, go downstairs. We're going to go have fun. We are going to continue our study on the baptism in the Holy Spirit. It's like a quilt. You have to knit it all together so they can get the concept of what a baptism of the Holy Spirit looks like. So that's what we're working on. And so let's go ahead and open up in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for Doug and for his message, Father. I know that it is a good message, Father, that you've given him. And Father, just give him the anointing to touch hearts through your Holy Spirit with this. In Jesus' name, amen. Doug?
All right. All right, well, thank you for allowing me the privilege to be able to come here and visit with you guys this morning, and I pray that you guys will be ministered to. We also want to make sure that Pastor Kevin and Tina have had a relaxing time as much as possible. I know it's been a little bit abbreviated for them with Rodney's death and everything there. So, and just letting you guys know that the service will be here at the church on Tuesday at 11 a.m. And as soon as that's the service is done, then there'll be a luncheon over at Shiloh Funeral Home Tribute Center. Then after that they'll head out to do the burial at 2 o'clock out on his ranch. The burial is going to be out there. So anyway. With that said, and we also want to just lift their family up in prayers for their loss, and we want to minister to them the best we possibly can. So, anyway, with that said, this morning here, I'm going to start off with talking about my cat Sparky. You know, a few years back when we moved to Forest Park, we decided that we were going to bring in a couple of cats. And this cat was, there was two of them. We got them from out there at Carol's. And, you know, one was like really friendly and just enjoyed itself and everything. And the other one, I'll say it, didn't really like people that much just yet. But these cats, each one of them had some kind of a congestion thing going on with them, and they needed medicine. You know, Carol had some medicine there, and we gave him the first one. We gave him the medicine, and he just loved it. You know, like it was like eating candy for him. He just enjoyed it. But Sparky, on the other hand, here we had to wrap her up in a towel, and she was fighting you tooth and nail the entire time, and trying to give it, and we were just trying to give it to her. Then all of a sudden, you know, this cat, about two or three times into it, just didn't want it anymore. This cat had just decided that she was done. And so she all of a sudden just got out of my hand, out of the towel and everything. And I'm, you know, a prideful guy here. I'm going to make sure this cat gets its medicine. This has turned into a quest for me. You know, this cat's going to have some medicine. I'm trying to get it in there. And that towel's coming up. She's scratching me up and down my hand and all this type of stuff. And finally, you know, I got the medicine in it. And I said, fine, that's the last time. If you don't, you die. I mean, whatever, you know, enough pride. And then I'm looking down at my hand here, you know, and my hand is just shredded, you know. And I'm looking at this and probably going, and Beth's like going, You know, Doug, we should probably take you to the hospital to get some stitches and stuff like that. And I said, no, I'm not going to give the cat the satisfaction. You know, and so put it down. So, but anyway, we as believers sometimes, we look at things when God has given us things, and trying to minister to us and do different kind of directions. We like to fight tooth and nail and make him, you know, and just every step of the way, battle it in that. And so, I'm going to read to you guys about looking at some scripture today here in Numbers 11:4 through 34, 33, and it's going to be lengthy here. So bear with me if you would. here. The rabble with them began to crave other food. And again, the Israelites started wailing and said, if only we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt at no cost. Also the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now we have lost our appetite. We never see anything but this manna. The manna was like coriander seed and looked like resin. The people went around gathering it and then ground it in a handmill or crushed it in a mortar. They cooked it in a pot or made it into loaves, and it tasted like something with olive oil. When the dew settled on the camp at night, the manna also came down. Moses heard the people of every family wailing at the entrance of their tents. The Lord became exceedingly angry, and Moses was troubled. He asked the Lord, why you brought this trouble on your servant? What have I done to displease you, that you put the burden of all these people on me? Did I conceive all these people? Did I give them birth? Why do you tell me to carry them in my arms as a nurse carries an infant to the land you promised an oath to our ancestors? Where can I get meat for all these people? They keep wailing to me, give us meat. I cannot carry all these people by myself. The burden is too heavy for me. If this is how you're going to treat me, please go ahead and kill me. If I have found favor in your eyes, do not let me face my own ruin. The Lord said to Moses, bring me 70 of Israel's elders who are known to you as leaders and officials among the people. Have them come to the tent of meeting so that they may stand there with you. I will come down and speak with you there, and I will take some of the power of the Spirit that is on you and put it on them. They will share the burden of the people with you so that you will not have to carry it alone. Tell the people, consecrate yourselves in preparation for tomorrow, when you will eat meat. The Lord heard when you wailed, if only we had meat to eat. We were better off in Egypt. Now the Lord will give you meat, and you will eat it. You will not eat it just for one day, or 2 days, or 5, 10, or 20 days, but for a whole month, until it comes out of your nostrils and you loathe it, because you have rejected the Lord who is among you and have wailed before him, saying, why did we ever leave Egypt? But Moses said, here I am among 600,000 men on foot, and you say, I will give them meat to eat for a whole month? Would they have enough if flocks and herds were slaughtered for them? Would they have enough if all the fish in the sea were caught for them? The Lord answered Moses, is the Lord's arm too short? Now you will see whether or not what I say will come true for you. So Moses went out and told the people what the Lord had said. He brought together 70 of their elders and had them stand around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke with them. And he took some of the power of the Spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. Then the Spirit rested on them. They prophesied, but did not do so again. However, two men named Eldad and Medad had remained in the camp. They were listed among the elders, but did not go out to the tent. Yet the Spirit also rested on them, and they prophesied in the camp. A young man ran and told Moses, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. Joshua, son of Nun, who had been Moses' aide since youth, spoke up and said, Moses, my Lord, stop them. But Moses replied, are you jealous for my sake? I wish that the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put his Spirit on them. Then Moses and the elders of Israel returned to the camp. Now a wind went out from the Lord and drove quail from the sea. It scattered them up to 2 cubits deep all around the camp, as far as a day's walk in any direction. All that day and night and all the next day, the people went out and gathered quail. No one gathered less than 10 homers. Then they spread them out all around the camp. But while the meat was still between their teeth, and before it could be consumed, the anger of the Lord burned against the people, and he struck them with a severe plague. And so we stop there, and we look at this. I look at this, and I go, that must have been an interesting whole kind of scenario. I know it was a long thing to read there, but I will tell you, I always, when I look at this, I try to figure out what kind of perspective of the two, you know, of the individuals. This, they were known, they called them a rabble, and they were all there. But and so I always wonder from their perspective how they saw the situation. And so, as a matter of fact, I have two people that are here today that were there, you know, a few millennium ago. So. And I affectionately call them Eek and Ook.
Eek, Eek, Eek,
Ook,
Eek,
Ook. What?
I got some news.
What's the news?
Moses is up there talking to God right now.
Right now? Right now? Is he finally gonna? Is he gonna? Is he gonna?
Yeah. He's talking to him to get us some meat.
Oh, about time. We want meat. There's meat. We've been walking around this desert for days and years and everything, and I got dust everywhere. I've been scratching and itching in places I didn't even know I could scratch.
Oh, I know.
Oh, yeah, but we're going to get, you know, you're right. He's talking to him about meat.
Yes.
Well, Ook, that is really exciting. I want meat, because I remember back in Egypt when we could eat all the fish we wanted, all the cucumbers, the leeks, and the onions, and the garlic.
The melons.
Oh, yeah. All that stuff is good. Of course, you know, they beat us and made us build things and
but
everything.
But the fish.
Oh, the fish. I loved it. It was just meat everywhere.
Yeah.
It's exciting. So, you know, it's about time he did something like this. I'm tired of this, you know. You know, this, all we had is this manna we're eating, you know, and it's been great that he's got his provision and he gives us some stuff. But I tell you, this stuff just tastes the same.
It's disgusting.
Day after the day.
I can't eat anymore.
I can't handle it. It's about time we got some meat. And so, all that. So, quail! There's quail!
Quail
everywhere!
Ooh.
That's like, it's up to my knees, man. All right, let's get some quail. Come on, here, let's put it up. Oh, yeah, yeah. All right. That's, all right, let's get a fire going here, and let's get this going. Good. You know, the sky is looking a bit dark over there. I wonder what's going on there.
It's all right. We got meat.
We got meat. Let's get this thing. Let's get this thing going. It's getting bad here. Okay. Let's get cooking here. Okay. Come on. Let's go.
It's good.
I know. You know, my man Moses. We knew we could count on him, man.
He always comes through.
He does. He's marching around for a while, but he's come through. And you know, the Lord has given us the fruit, given us meat, all this stuff. I am so excited. Oh, it's empty. It's right here. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And so that's. Okay. I said, it's getting a little loud out there. I don't know. I wonder if he's. Okay. I just want to eat my meat in peace. Forget it.
Can't even eat meat in peace.
Well, you know, how short of a memory did Eek and Ook have? You know, of all the Lord's provision, taking them out of Egypt and getting them through that whole thing, marching through, providing them each day with manna, all that stuff. I said, basically, you know, it's like, what have you done for me lately? You know, they have forgotten the power of the Lord and what he's done for them and the blessings that he's done for them. And so throughout today's message, I want us to concentrate on verse 23, where the Lord answered Moses, "Is the Lord's arm too short? Now you will see whether or not what I say will come true for you." I looked at some of the different versions and taken that same passage, versions of the Bible, and I look at this and I have a few of them here. The English Standard Version says, "Is the Lord's hand shortened? Now you will see whether my word will come true for you or not." The King James says, "Is the Lord's hand waxed short? Thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not." The New American Standard Bible says, "Is the Lord's power limited? Now you shall see whether my word will come true for you or not." The Living Bible, you know, says, "When did I become weak? Now you shall see whether my word comes true or not." The Message says, "So do you think I can't take care of you? You'll see soon enough whether what I say happens for you or not." So when I think about this now, and you look at this, the biggest things I want you to remember here today is the believer must always trust the Lord's direction by being obedient to his direction, regardless of the immediate circumstances and what you're going through. Being obedient to the Lord's direction doesn't always make sense. Now, did it make sense about, you know, from Moses' perspective, is that there he's looking at this whole land of, you know, a whole bunch of people. And it's like, there's like 600,000 men. And in the Bible, it probably didn't count the women and the children on that. So, I mean, it's just a ton of people to feed. And so to Moses' mind here, he's trying to figure out, how can this happen? How can he reach all of these? How can he provide meat, not only even for a day, but he's talking about for a whole month? It just didn't make sense to Moses. Oftentimes when the Lord gives us direction, it just doesn't make sense in our human eyes and what we're doing. They've been traveling around there for how many years that particular time, in the midst of that time? And it just in for that. And also in an example in the New Testament, when Jesus is feeding the 5,000, it's like he takes 2 fish, 5 loaves of bread, and he feeds the 5,000. I mean, how is that? There's a lot of things that we have going on in our own life. I'm sure there's things that you can think of what God has done in your past, in your life, and what you went through. And it's like, wow, I can't believe it. God really helped me, and Jesus helped me through this whole situation. And you're like going, that's incredible, you know, and all that. So the bigger the issue, you know, but in the end, Jesus always finds a way, doesn't he? He does. And the bigger the issue at hand, the more likely it feels impossible to fulfill. For you and I, the situation might be deep. How in the world are we going to do? We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what we're going to do and how we're going to get through this. But we all need to commit it to God, and he can help us through that situation. Because it's his burden. It's not ours. We just got to commit ourselves to him, and he will lead us in that way. And the Lord is looking for those who will be obedient to his direction. And the Lord is asking the believer, asking you, here, how short do you think my arm is? Constantly. How short do you think my arm is? Number 2, being obedient to the Lord's direction doesn't give the believer the right to complain and act the martyr. One thing, when we look at this, Moses just felt burned out. All these people just continually, you know, things would happen. God would bless them. And then all of a sudden he looks and he goes, oh, wow. You know, it's like they're still complaining about things. They want this, they want that. Everything else, he's just burning out. He's like feeling like all himself, like he's by himself and everything. And if you, and the one thing about Moses here is that when you look at this, you know, this this thing, how he felt here. And I'm going to read just about when he's addressing God here in a, from a living Bible, because I kind of feel, I think it's kind of interesting here, is he says, why pick on me? I give me, to give me the burden of a people like this. Are they my children? Am I their father? Is that why you have given me the job of nursing them along like babies until we get to the land you promised their ancestors? Where am I supposed to get meat for all these people? For they weep to me, saying, give us meat. I can't carry this nation by myself. The load is far too heavy. If you are going to treat me like this, please kill me right now. It will be a kindness. Let me out of this impossible situation. You know, you kind of just felt like, and, you know, I have a lot of respect for, you know, respect for Moses and stuff, because, so, I, you know, in a hint from a dramatic standpoint, I kind of want to do that in a real kind of whiny voice and everything like that, but I won't, you know, I didn't want to do that at all, because Moses is such a, you know, unbelievable man of faith when you look back at the history, you know, of that. But he was at a position like each one of us have been sometimes. We're just feeling so overwhelmed. God is asking me to do this and do that to reach people, and I'm like going, and you're like going, God, I've given you all I can give you right now. What, in this and that and stuff. Be careful about that. Be careful playing the martyr and being sorry for yourself or whatever. And what's interesting about this whole thing here, you know, we, you know, I did read you a lot of scripture in that whole chapter, in chapter 11. And the thing is they're talking about, you know, in the beginning, and they're talking about wanting the meat, and in the end, they're talking about, you know, all of a sudden the quail come. But in the middle there, Moses deals with the situation about, I mean, not, the Lord deals with the situation with, for Moses, because, you know, with providing these 70 elders to you know, spread the, you know, to smooth the commitment of ministering to the people here. And, you know, there's a lot of work that needs to be done amongst these people. And at the time, Moses was doing everything. You know, and or he felt like he was doing everything. Anyway, sometimes, you know, you kind of feel like you're doing everything. That can be a perspective for a lot of us, how we can feel like we're doing something that in reality maybe we're not. And so, but in any case, God spreads out the burden amongst the people here. And that's some of the things here that when we look at, you know, Jesus, you know, Jesus had the 12 disciples that around him to spread out his message, to give his message to the people, to the communities, so that they would get to know him. And then also, and if you look at the, it also in Acts, there are 12 disciples selected elders to help minister to the needs of the body, so it would not distract them from ministering to the word. And in Acts chapter 6, it says, 6:1. Acts chapter 6, verse 1, it says, in those days when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. So I look at that. So each one of us here has gifts. in ways to support. Maybe it's praying for everybody. Maybe it is actually going out and evangelically meeting people on the road, the streets, and all these things, and inviting them and witnessing to them and bringing them to God, introducing God to Jesus to them. Then, you know, some of it might just be the financial support of different ministries. But each, God's calling us to do something. I look at what our pastor, Pastor Kevin, wants. He's really shared a lot of stuff with his vision for this church and how we want to keep moving along. And so, and it's great. I like being in the board meetings sometimes, and we sit there, we talk about all these things and everything, and they're very productive. They're long, but they're productive. And that's fine. I don't mind long meetings at all. I think as long as they're productive, because it's enjoyable. But talking about the things that God's going to do, you know. And it's like, if you look at your arm here, see, ministry can go as long moving forward. There's about five different ways you can go, and trying to figure out which way it is that's going to be actually positive to reach the community, reach the needs of our church, and reach and further the world. All these things. In one of these ways, you know, every way could be right, but what's right for us in this body, in this church? And so, and we need to be moving towards that end every single way. Now, we may go down the end of one road here and decide, oh, this just didn't work, so we need to go back and try something else here. But we always just need to be moving forward. We don't ever want to just stay right here and just sit here and stay. Because if we don't move, then we'll just kind of do that. And that's one of the things about how our pastor is leading us in that direction, to be able to step out and do that. And so we look at that, you know, we want to effectively minister to our community. And the Lord's wanting us to accomplish great tasks. He's wanting to, isn't he? And he's wants each one of us here, sitting here, and online and everything, to be a part of that. Be a part of that. So when we're faced with seemingly impossible tasks, we may not understand how the Lord is going to accomplish the task, but we need to trust that he will. It seemed that Moses was rather doubtful that the Lord could provide the meat for as many people. But back into perspective of our pastor, he has a vision for this church to reach the lost of the community, and it may seem overwhelming to some. But remember that the Lord is asking, how short do you think my arm is? How short? In our minds, and what we do, it can be, we're like going, I don't know what we're going to do, but I want to be a part of it. I want to reach out. Okay? So, 3, being obedient to the Lord's direction allows the believer's relationship with Christ to become more intimate. We need to have faith that however Jesus chooses to help us, which may seem odd at times, we can have the confidence that it is for our best interest. It may seem odd, may seem weird and strange how he's going to do it. I don't know, you know. And that brings me to, you know, to Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Jesus cares for us, each of us, so much. And what we're going through, he wants to give us good gifts. He wants to help us. He wants to help everybody out there. Even thinking more outside of just the people in this church. He wants, in this community, he wants everyone to have a relationship with him. You know, but he does have an expectation that each one of us would just grow in a relationship with him, and then an intimate relationship. Spend the time to pray. Spend the time to read the Bible. You know, and think about what you can do for God. Maybe, you know, maybe it's, you know, there's a lot of things, you know. Maybe it's to come to the Sunday evening's prayer, you know, prayer time and all that. You know, there's a lot of different things that we can do. We need to be motivated and get excited about what God can do and step out and do something, because God may be calling you to do something that you've never been able to do before. There's no need that is so great the Lord cannot handle. There's no need. You look at, you know, because you look at all the different needs that could be out there. Maybe it's a great sickness, something out there. How short do you think my arm is? The Lord's asking. How short do you think my arm is? And you know, and you take in, you look at that, and maybe it's a mountain of financial debt. Something there. You look at that, you have no idea. There's no way in your mind how you think that you can handle it, what you can do with it and everything. But you just commit that, and you have to give it, you know, give it over to God. And he's going to help you. He's going to take care of it. Maybe it's broken relationships. I look around, you know, you look around in different things. Each one of us has some kind of relationship with that's close in our families or friends or something. It's broken, and they're just like, that needs to be ministered to. And you have no idea yourself how you're going to get it together, but you're trying to figure out what you can do about it. That is there. If you hand it over to him, you know, maybe it's hunger, you know. Maybe you don't, you know, you have some pride in you and you don't want to let anybody else know that you're hungry or whatever or something. But there's, you know, there are those that are hungry. Maybe that's a great mountain. You're trying to figure out how you're going to feed your family in the next day or something. But what you're going to do, that's different things. And something that's big, like for right now, you know, what's going on, we could probably spend a whole series doing and talking about this. This is social unrest or upheaval. All the stuff that's going on is just a little crazy. You know, and I'm not really going to go into that right now, but there is. But I do know somebody who knows how to take care of what's going on. We just have to commit it to him, trying to figure out how to do those things where he says, it's not really about, these things are really not about us and our problems and everything. It's taking these things and you hand them over to God. How about those with maybe crippling anxiety or depression and those kind of things, how things that just tearing apart, they can't act or anything, and you have no idea how to help them. I have no idea how to help in, you know, these people or whatever. But I do know somebody, again, who does it, whose arm is long enough, the long arm of the Lord, that can take care of some of these things. You know, and also, and a big thing too, as I mentioned this several times, is a community that needs Jesus. A community that needs Jesus. We all need Jesus here in whatever levels of relationship that we have with him right now. And, but, you know, and you look outside this building, and when you're going to the grocery store, you're going to work, you see people, they need Jesus to help them in all that. So all those different things, all those things like that. And I stand over here, and so, you know, I stand over here, and I try to reach over like that. And my, you know, I can't reach it. My arm's too short, you know. But I know that the long arm of the Lord can reach that and take care of those situations. You know, so I would tell each one of you to sit here the way you are. Be prepared for God-sized miracles, not man-sized categories. Be prepared to dream big and to see God work and minister to people and step out. Each one of you, God may be talking to you right now about something I can do to step out and do that. He's talking to each one of us. We're ready to dream big, you know. We're ready to, you know, to dream dreams and start prophesying. Let the Spirit pour out upon this community and reach this people for, reach everybody for God. We can see young people in this church just feeling, you know, it'd be nice to come here and have a hard time finding a seat. You know, let's have a lot of people here to come in and experience the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God just pouring out upon people and just ministering to people, reaching their needs, and letting the long arm of the Lord to reach out there. So God is asking, how short do you think my arm is? Wait and see, and you will see what I can do. Sometimes God is asking us to step out on faith to see what he can do. I remember when I was at Walmart, I worked there for, you know, about 12 years as a manager. And I was like, and it was a pretty good job financially. I was making it pretty good, doing good. And then all of a sudden, one day, Jesus told me to quit your job. And I'm like, okay. And I went home, I told Beth, and I said, yeah, I'm supposed to quit my job. You sure about that? You know? And we prayed about it, and after a while, it was like, I did. I had no idea what I was going to do, where I was going to go. And it was kind of a thing. I was obedient to God at the time, and it was like I say, it was a step of faith, trying to figure out, I was applying for this job, doing this kind of job, this job and that. The doors kind of closed on me and this and that. And finally, it kind of led me to doing a pre-need insurance sales for pre-need burials. And I started doing that, and I realized that I needed to do, that I really liked doing the funeral director and the mortician thing. And I started going to school to do that, and it led me down the path of that. And it brought me to eastern Montana here today, and it's been absolutely great for my family being over here. And I can just see what a blessing it was that if I would have just refused to do that, who knows where I'd be today, you know? Probably trying to figure out how to keep the Walmart open. But anyway, so that would be the kind of things that are going there. So when it comes to great things that Jesus can do, we need to remember that the Lord is asking, how short do you think my arm is? How short? So in conclusion, being obedient to the Lord's direction allows the believer to have the confidence that the Lord's arm is not short, but long, regardless of what the circumstances are. So ask yourself where you have been thinking that the Lord's arm is too short to help with the situation. I know that we've all been there. We've all been sitting there going, you look at the situation, whatever is going on in your life, and you go, oh, where's the Lord in all this, you know? Why isn't he taking care of this, you know? Be careful not to play the martyr, like I said earlier, but realize that His arm is short. I mean, look at all this, all this stuff that we just put in here. All these things, this basket. All these things that are committed. I can't reach this. I can't do it by myself. You know? I'm over here. I'm trying to reach. I'm trying to take care of these situations. I can't do it. I can't do it. And for whatever reason, sometimes, not that he needs to, but sometimes the Lord Jesus, he chooses to act through us, to use us. And each one of us needs to be prepared to do that. Then all of a sudden, we look at this and we have the long arm of the Lord. He reaches out and he takes this. I can't reach it, but guess what? Look at this, how he can reach out. And then all of a sudden, he can take care of that. All the needs and the things that you have committed, that you have not been able to take care of, he is able to take care of them. And he brings them into himself not to me, but into himself. And he takes care of those. He looks at these different things. And he looks at this. He deals with a community that needs a relationship with Jesus, a relationship with him. He deals with those who are have crippling anxiety or depression, social unrest, hunger, broken relationships, mountains of financial debt, those that are sick. He cares about all those different needs and all those things that you are going through. All you have to do is commit them to him. He takes the long arm of the Lord. He can take care of those. In each one of those. So I'd ask you guys to kind of examine your hearts and your minds right now. Where have you thought that the Lord's arm's been too short for you? And commit that. Commit yourself to allowing the long arm of the God of the Lord to reach that and to deal with those situations. So I'd like for everybody just to go ahead and stand, if you would. And I'd like to close this in a word of prayer, in prayer. And I'd like I want to close in prayer, and I'm going to ask you a few questions. So, Lord Jesus, I just thank you for your message and how you've ministered to each one of us, Lord, and what where possibly we may have been lacking sometimes in faith and following your direction, God. We know that we may not have trusted you and had the faith that you'd take care of things, Lord. And we know that we need to, God. We pray, Lord, that you would help us with that. Now, if there's anybody out here who has, if you have needs or something that, you know, anybody who has some really substantial needs right now, I would like to pray. If you raise your hands, I'd like to all pray for that right now. So anybody, maybe with needs where maybe you've thought that the Lord's arm's too short, but you haven't really committed it to the long arm of the Lord, I would just ask you to raise your hands while we pray, and we just thank you, Jesus. Lord Jesus, we just thank you, Lord. You see these hands that are up right now, God. And whatever the different situations there are, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would minister to them, God. That you would help them. And they'd be committed unto you, Jesus. For everything that you do, God. Minister to them and give them comfort right now. We pray for that, God. That you would do that, Jesus. And Lord, I just pray for those who would need to get close to you, Jesus. In their own relationship, that you would reach, that you would grab their heart right now, Lord. That you would minister to their heart right now. And Lord, that they would just be committed to you, Jesus. We thank you for those things, Jesus. Now, Lord, I just pray that you would minister to each one of these individuals here, God, today. I pray, Lord, that we would have a great week that would be for you, Jesus, I pray. We want to pray for Rodney Sturgis' family, Lord, that you would minister to them as they're going through this grieving time, Jesus. Just touch them, Lord, and let them know that they're loved not only by you, but by us, and how we would minister to them, Jesus. We pray for that, God. And Lord, we pray as we go through this week, Lord, that we would just touch somebody for you, Jesus. That you would use us, Lord, to minister to them, God. We thank you now in your wonderful name. Amen.